All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're taking a look at a case from way back in 1982.
Oh yeah, this one's a classic.
Yeah, Land Associates, Inc. v. Becker. It's a bit of a head-scratcher out of the Oregon Supreme Court, but honestly, it's a must-know for anyone trying to really get property law, especially all the ins and outs of foreclosure.
Definitely. Foreclosure and redemption rights. That's where this case gets really interesting, right?
Absolutely. And especially for all the law students out there, you know, this deep dive is going to break it all down for you. How courts interpret those tricky statutes, how the doctrine of less impendence comes into play. By the time we're done, you'll be spotting these issues from a mile away.
No doubt. And what I think makes Land Associates so fascinating is, well, you see, the foreclosing party, they tried to pull a fast one, procedurally speaking, to maybe, you know, limit the rights of some junior landholders.
Right, trying to cut corners.
Exactly. But as we'll see, that kind of backfired on them big time.
Yeah. So today, we're going to clear up exactly when junior landholders, even if they weren't officially part of the foreclosure lawsuit, can still swoop in and redeem a property.
It's a real legal thriller for sure.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty of Land Associates v. Becker. What actually happened in this case?
All right, so picture this. Land Associates, they start foreclosure proceedings on a property. They do include some junior lien holders in the lawsuit, you know, by the book so far.
Right, standard procedure.
But here's the catch. Two trust deed holders and then a judgment creditor, they go and record their lien holds on the property after Land Associates had already started the whole lawsuit.
So they're kind of late to the game.
Exactly. Like showing up to a party after it's already started.
And I bet that complicates things.
Oh, it definitely does. So Land Associates, they move forward with the foreclosure. They win in court, no surprises there, and they buy the property themselves at the sheriff's sale. But now, get this. Only 27 days after that sale, they go and get an ex parte court order for a sheriff's deed.
Whoa, hold on, 27 days. Didn't you say Oregon usually gives a 60-day window for redemption?
You got it. 60 days for the original owner or other lien holders to buy back the property. Land Associates got that deed in less than half the time. They were really trying to speed things up.
Trying to push through, huh? Okay, so now we need to meet our other key player here. Bautista.
Right, Bautista.
Bautista steps in and basically buys up the interests of those lien holders who weren't initially named in the lawsuit, the ones who recorded their liens after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And then, 57 days after the sheriff's sale, just shy of that 60-day mark, Bautista tries to redeem the property.
But Land Associates, with their early bird sheriff's deed, they basically say, nope, too late. We've got the deed. You missed your chance.
That's
got
to be frustrating. So this is where the legal battle really heats up, right? What happened when this went to court?
Oh, it went to court. All right. First, the trial court, they sided with Land Associates. They dismissed Bautista's claim, basically saying the early sheriff's deed trumps everything.
So round one goes to Land Associates.
Yeah, but Bautista appeals that decision. And the Court of Appeals, they actually reverse it. They say Bautista's claim is valid.
Oh, so now it's 1-1. This is getting interesting. So naturally, Land Associates takes it up a notch, right? To the Supreme Court.
Exactly. The Oregon Supreme Court decides to hear the case. They had to, really. There was this big question looming. Could those redemption rights still be exercised even though Land Associates already had the sheriff's deed?
That's a pretty significant legal question.
Mm-hmm.
So break it down for us. What's the core issue the Oregon Supreme Court had to grapple with?
The main question was this. If a lien holder gets their interest in a property after a foreclosure lawsuit has already begun, can they still redeem that property even after a sheriff's deed has been given to the buyer? Timing is everything here.
So it all hinges on when that lien was recorded and whether that early deed changes anything?
Yeah.
How did the Supreme Court approach this problem? What were some of the legal tools they used to make their decision?
Well, they relied on a couple of really important interconnected legal ideas. First, the doctrine of lis pendens. It's a bedrock principle in property law, like a big flashing sign that says, hey, legal battle going on here. Once a lawsuit about a property is filed and properly recorded, everyone's on notice that there's a dispute. Anyone who comes along and acquires an interest in that property after the lawsuit starts is bound by whatever the court decides, even if they're not directly involved in the case.
So it's kind of like once the game's on, any new players have to follow the rules already in play.
Yeah, exactly. It's about bringing finality to legal fights over property. You don't want new people jumping in all the time after a case has started.
Makes sense. So in Land Associates, even though those trust deed holders and the judgment creditor, Bautista's predecessors, weren't in the initial lawsuit because their liens came later, this lis pendens thing meant they were still affected by the outcome.
Exactly. Their interests were essentially wiped out by the foreclosure judgment.
Even though they weren't named, right?
Right. Because of lis pendens. And here's the kicker. The court said that being wiped out by the foreclosure, even though they weren't directly part of it, is precisely what triggered their right to redeem the property.
So being cut out because of lis pendens ironically gave them a right to step back in.
Exactly. It's like their interests were extinguished by the foreclosure because of lis pendens. And Oregon law, specifically ORS 23.560, says if that happens, you get a chance to redeem the property. You get to buy it back to make up for your lost interest.
Interesting how that works. Okay, let's circle back to that early sheriff's deed Land Associates got. What did the court think about that move?
Well, the court focused on ORS 23.60. This law does say a buyer can get a sheriff's deed early, before that full 60-day redemption period is up. But, and this is a huge but, only if they've gotten rid of all the existing rights of redemption. And the court said, point blank, Land Associates failed to do that. They never dealt with the redemption rights that Bautista's assigners had.
So they tried to take a shortcut, but didn't follow all the steps.
Precisely. They got that deed without properly taking care of those potential redemption claims. It's like trying to win a marathon by skipping half the course.
That's a great analogy. The court wasn't having any of that.
No. The court basically said you can't just rush through the foreclosure process and ignore those legal protections for lien holders. Because those later lien holders' interests got wiped out by lien pendens, they had the right to redeem. Land Associates didn't get those redemption rights, so the early sheriff's deed, invalid.
Wow. Case closed.
Well, almost. The court also went out of its way to distinguish this case from an older one, Portland MTG Company v. Creditors Pratt.
Yes. Why bring up that other case? Why was that distinction so important to their decision?
In Portland MTG, the lien holders who weren't part of the foreclosure lawsuit had recorded their lands before the lawsuit even began. Since their liens were already there, liens pendens didn't apply to them the same way it did in Land Associates. Their liens didn't get wiped out by the judgment. They were still valid. So that earlier case shows us that the timing of when your interest is recorded compared to when the lawsuit starts is crucial. It determines how liens pendens works and what kind of redemption rights you might have.
That makes sense. It clarifies when liens pendens is a factor and when it isn't. So big picture, what are the key takeaways from Land Associates v. Becker? What did the Oregon Supreme Court really want to drive home with this ruling?
First and foremost, redemption rights are a big deal in Oregon. The courts are serious about protecting them. You can't just sidestep them with a clever procedural move. Second, lis pendens is a powerful legal doctrine. Anyone who buys an interest in a property after a lawsuit has begun is bound by the outcome of that lawsuit, even if they aren't directly named in it. And in this case, having those later interests extinguished is what then creates that statutory right of redemption.
Got it. So let's bring this back down to earth for all the aspiring lawyers listening. What does this case mean for them? What should lawyers keep in mind after a ruling like this?
The takeaway for legal professionals is clear. Be meticulous. When you're dealing with a foreclosure, you need to check for all liens on the property, not just the ones recorded before the lawsuit. Any liens recorded during the lawsuit itself matters. And before you even think about getting that early sheriff's deed for your client, you absolutely have to make sure every single right of redemption has been dealt with properly. If you don't, you risk having the whole thing overturned later, just like what happened to Land Associates.
So this case is a huge reminder that courts will protect those redemption rights, even if it means reversing decisions that have already been made. It's a cautionary tale about trying to outsmart the system.
Definitely. The Oregon Supreme Court in Land Associates v. Becker made it abundantly clear that the rules around foreclosure and redemption are there for a reason.
All right. That was a deep dive into Land Associates v. Becker. To recap, the big takeaway here is that in Oregon, those redemption rights are king. And lis pendens plays a crucial role in figuring out who has those rights, especially when it comes to liens that pop up during a lawsuit.
Exactly. And this case really makes you think, doesn't it? About how we balance the need to move foreclosures along efficiently with protecting the rights of property owners and those junior lien holders. The court in Land Associates had to find that balance. Does this ruling tilt the scales in any significant way? Something to ponder, right? Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
Thanks, everyone.